That theme music, it could only mean one thing. That's right, the return of the meeting of minds, the culture clash, the joining of two worlds. It's Tommy Mac in Los Angeles and...
Recovering Bart in Oklahoma.
Hey, man, Bart, we're doing this again. It's been so long. Well, you know, where the hell have you been?
Mostly sick. Sick as a dog, as a matter of fact. I'm sure nobody wants to hear about it, but let me tell you about it.
Oh, great. Are you going to talk about how you're spitting up all sorts of exciting, chunky things?
I'm going to tell you about all the colors that are coming out of me.
You know, maybe that's a little too much information, Bartimus.
No, I got to tell you, though, I feel like I get sicker than most people, because when I get sick, seriously, this coughing thing I got, I cough like every minute. And when you cough, seriously, every minute, you know, after two, 3 days, it just gets real boring. And my chest and my stomach get so sore from coughing. And every time I inhale, I can hear all the bronchial, and then you try to exhale, and then that makes you cough. And, oh, it just turns into a big thing. But fortunately, Doc Sharif, you know, first he fixed me up with the three-pack of antibiotics. And when I went back and said, hey, got one that works? Now he fixed me up with a 10-pack of antibiotics. And, of course, it would have to come right before the election, but we are troopers. We are storming through. We're going to make this work no matter how bad it sounds.
So, basically, you're going to enjoy this election with the benefit of the pharmaceutical industry helping you out. Better living through chemistry. The Bart Cop method.
I got to tell you, in the old days, I often would medicate myself. You know, the suppression of a cough can be accomplished by... some good old Jim Beam, a little bit of Crown Royal, maybe some Jack Black, helps to suppress the cough.
God bless
and,
that liquid.
I've been cutting back a little bit on the liquid brown there. Since I've been drinking a little less, I've been suppressing less, and so maybe that's probably the problem. I haven't been drinking enough.
Bingo. Hello. Science comes through again.
If I was more of a trooper, I'd be drinking my way through this election, and we would produce more radio.
With a crazy straw. That's right.
Well, hey, what kind of thoughts you got about this election? I'm still worried.
Well, as I mentioned before, I've pretty much resigned myself that Bush is going to win. And I know right now everyone in Bart Cop Radio land is going, what the hell? No, hear me out. Hear me out. First off, I was so sure Gore was going to win. I mean, there's no way this throbbing monkey could possibly become president. There's just no way that could ever happen. And then we saw what happened. And I don't know about you, but once the final Supreme Court decision came down and he was installed, it was like getting kicked repeatedly in the stomach. It was harsh. I can't go through that again, Bart. So... knowing that they're doing everything they can to suppress the vote, knowing that it is going to be close, I just think they're not going to let go of power that easily. Now, recently, I've had a few rays of hope. You know, the fact that a lot of pollsters can't reach people with cell phones because they're not on landlines. Those people are going to vote Democratic because they're usually a little more technologically advanced. It's the monkeys that haven't quite figured out how to bash two rocks together to make fire. And so, you know, I know the Bard Gal, the weather vixen, is totally thinking it will be a landslide for Kerry for the same reason. Now, so basically what I'm saying is I got no fucking clue.
You know, the way I see it, it's like we've all missed our period. And we're wondering if we're pregnant. You know, let's say we're a 16-year-old girl.
Yes, because I hate it when I miss my period, Bart.
Same here. I hate that.
Yeah.
But what we've done now, we've missed our period, and we got a doctor's appointment for, you know, well, Tuesday is when we're going to the doctor. And while we hope we're not pregnant, we've kind of steeled ourselves to the possibility that we are. So when we get there Tuesday, if he says, nah, you're not pregnant, well, hey, then big party.
You know, Bart, that has to be the strangest analogy ever to come from your lips. I mean, what the hell? Oh, there you go coughing again on me.
Oh, it's awful. But, you know, it's funny. I remember the 2000 race differently than you do. The way I remember it, Bush was ahead the whole time. He was ahead by 6 or 7 points, you know, the whole race.
Michael Moore's point is the fact that even with Bush ahead, the walk-up voter turnout tend to really go for Gore. And so he thinks the same thing will happen this year and that it will be a landslide as well. So, I don't know.
That kind of goes into what I'm saying, though, that the monkey was ahead by, the way I remember it, 6 or 7 going into the last week, and I distinctly remember the vulgar pig boy. The election was Tuesday. It was on a Monday. He said, folks, I'm hearing some things, and I'm not going to tell you what they are. Let's get through this election first, and I'll tell you afterwards. And after the election, he said, what I was hearing at the last minute is all of a sudden they heard that we were about tied, because Bush was ahead by 6 or 7, and then at the last second, all of a sudden it appeared that Gore was about even. Now, here we are four years later, and they're saying they're about tied. That tells me, in the pregnant kind of way, it tells me that Kerry might really be 5-6 points ahead, but, geez, there's just no way in hell to tell.
Yeah, but then again, Rush Limbaugh was off his tits on drugs. He was hearing voices in his own head. I mean, that's what was going on. It's like, well, you know. It's like, yeah, well.
I'll tell you, it's kind of crazy, the idea that the weather is probably going to change history one way or the other. If it's a cold, blustery, rainy day in the Northeast, you know, we could maybe lose Pennsylvania, Ohio, that kind of thing. If it's a nasty-ass day, there's some people going to say, screw it, my guy's probably going to win or lose anyway. No sense me getting my ass out in the cold, rainy weather. But if it's a nice, warm, sunny day, you know, the old people, see, that's another thing. Old people are probably going to go more for Kerry than for Bush. So if it's a nicer day and the old people can get out, and so, yeah, the weather may be the biggest single factor at this point. I mean, we're kind of locked into it now. There's not a lot either one of them can do at this point to change a lot of things, but the weather is a last-minute thing.
Well, then to all the Bart Cop radio listeners out there living in a swing state, don't let the weather get you down. Get your ass out there and vote.
You know, I'll tell you who I'm tired of seeing on TV. I haven't seen in the last couple of days, but in the last week or 10 days.
Johnny Knoxville?
No, this is worse. You remember David Boies? I think it's B-O-Y-E-S. Not that we can spell on the radio, but he was the Gore attorney that went to the Supreme Court and tried to argue our case. Well, he's been on TV the last couple of weeks laughing and just cutting up and talking about how much fun it was to play in the big leagues and how much excitement there was to go against Jim Baker or Ted Olson, whoever it was, in the big fight. No, he'd just been yucking it up big time, and I'm thinking, hey, asshole, you lost that for us.
Yeah, it's like, dude, what the hell are you going around saying how great it is when you lost?
Seems to me he ought to be hanging his head in shame, getting on TV saying, damn, I tried my best, but and there's no reason to go back and rehash the whole Florida thing, but what they're saying now, kind of in retrospect, that one of Gore's many mistakes was that he only wanted to count the recounts in two counties instead of the whole state. And had he gone with the whole state, they say the Supreme Court might have agreed with him. But since he wanted to cherry pick, they threw that out. And that's the kind of thing Mr. $500 an hour Boies should have had his eye on. I mean, he's getting paid for his expertise. So where the hell was it when his country needed him?
I agree with you. Also, it was mentioned the fact that because Gore had ceded first and then recanted, people thought he was trying to steal it from the rightful winner, which was supposedly Bush. So Kerry himself has come out and said, we're not going to make that mistake again. We're going to claim victory, and if there's any problems, it's them coming after us.
I hope that's true. You know, the first thing they did was, after that John fell over at Fox News, decided that his cousin was going to be the winner. After they decided that, then all the networks jumped on, and that just caused all the trouble.
It was election night 2000, and everything seemed to be going as planned.
In New York, Al Gore is our projected winner. The Garden State is green for Gore.
We project that Mr. Gore is the winner in Delaware. This state has voted with the winner in
Delaware. Excuse me 1 second. I'm so sorry to interrupt you. Mike, you know I wouldn't do this if it weren't big. Florida goes for Al Gore.
CNN announces that we call Florida in the Al Gore column.
Then something called the Fox News Channel called the election in favor of the other guy.
Can I interrupt you? Fox News now projects George W. Bush the winner in Florida, and thus it appears the winner of the presidency of the United States.
All of a sudden, the other network said, hey, if Fox said it, it must be true.
All of us at the networks made a mistake and projected Florida in the Al Gore column. It was our mistake.
Now, what most people don't know is that the man who was in charge of the decision desk at Fox that night, the man who called it for Bush, was none other than Bush's first cousin, John Ellis. How does someone like Bush get away with something like this? Well, first, it helps if your brother is the governor of the state in question.
You know something? We are going to win Florida. Mark my words. You can write it down.
Second, make sure the chairman of your campaign is also the vote count woman, and that her state has hired a company that's going to knock voters off the rolls who aren't likely to vote for you. You can usually tell them by the color of their skin. Then make sure your side fights like it's life or death.
I think all this talk about legitimacy is way overblown.
And hope that the other side will just sit by and wait for the phone to ring. And even if numerous independent investigations prove that Gore got the most votes,
if there was a statewide recount under every scenario, Gore won the election.
It won't matter. Just as long as all your daddy's friends on the Supreme Court vote the right way.
While I strongly disagree with the court's decision, I accept it.
What we need now is acceptance. We have a new president-elect.
It turns out none of this was a dream. It's what really happened.
As soon as they did that, they established that Bush was the winner and Gore was the sore loser. And boy, the talk radio and the freeper types and everybody, they just, the network, the cable Nazi whores, everybody jumped on that about Gore the loser, Gore sore loser, Gore the loser. He lost. Why don't he go home, get out of there, Gore? And all of a sudden, it was just a tsunami, and there's all the Democrats saying, oh, it's so sad that we lost. We were I remember one of those Daily Boys up in Chicago was, you know, like vice chairman of the Gore campaign. He was saying, come on, Al, admit it, you lost, now get out of here. And the Gore the whole time is telling everybody, stay away from Florida, don't you dare come down here. While the whole time the GOP's flying monkeys from all over the country down there to stage these fake riots, I just don't want to go through that whole bullshit again. It's our turn this time. If tie goes to the runner, hey, they got it last time, and if there's some kind of mix-up this time, I say justice gives it to our side.
I agree with you 100%. What I don't get is the fact that these are the same people who say it's patriotic to actually ask questions of your government. If you don't criticize, things don't get better. If you don't point out the problems, things don't get better. Now, Kerry is still making a bunch of problems. He's still our candidate. He is still the one we need to use to get the monkey out of office, but he could still be doing a better job. And there's nothing wrong with bringing up the fact that a lot of Democrats are spineless bastards who just don't get it.
You know, just a day or two ago, I saw another picture of Kerry. He was trying to throw a football, but you know how a still photography catches that 1 millisecond, you know, where he was standing there all funny, and it looked like he just had been thrown out of a car. And it just was another one of those pictures like the NASA suit or the windsurfing and all that he's found himself in. I just don't know why they can't keep him away from cameras when he's doing these goofy stunts and wearing these funny costumes. No matter how the race falls, and God knows we want Kerry to win, but Kerry has run so much worse a campaign than Gore ever did. Gore didn't have 1,000 examples to point out about what a Nazi butchering bastard Bush was. I mean, Bush was an inept governor and an idiot, and he enjoyed executing uneducated black men. But, you know, even as Texas governor, though, he wasn't going around the world kicking in doors, dropping the mother of all bombs on cities of 5 million. Kerry, it seems like out of 100 things he could say about Bush, he said 10, and he said them once or twice, and he said them very ineffectively. And I just can't believe that he's in this fight. He should be, the polls should be 70-30. All the polls ought to say that. If he would just mention once or twice he invaded the wrong country, 1,000 dead soldiers. Whenever he talks about the cost of the war, he talks about it in dollars. He just won't ever mention the things that are important, but let's somehow get past that and try to get past Tuesday. I mean, I hope everybody writes me Wednesday and says, Bart, you idiot, he had it all the time. What were you so worried about, Mr. Ninny, Mr. Scared Sky is Falling, Ninny Bart Cup, stupid boy? Yeah, that's what I'd like to hear. I don't want to hear, gee, Bart, you were right.
And of course, at that point, it'll be too late. Did you manage to catch Wesley Clark on the Real Time with Bill Maher the other night?
Oh, I wish he was our candidate. But yes, to answer your question, I did. I thought he's great.
He is relentless. Well, I know it's, you know, everyone thinking, oh, will they just get off of Wesley Clark? He's not our candidate. But it reminds me of what could have been. The guy was fighting, and he was saying the things that needed to be said. And if he was our candidate right now, it would be 70-30.
You know, it's kind of funny. He sounds a little like old Bart, but he's got so much intelligence and dignity and all this stuff. He manages to say the kinds of things.
He's much better looking than you, Bart.
Oh, yeah. I wish I was that good looking. He says the kinds of things I say. He just cleans them up so well and makes them presentable. And, you know, with his good looks and his suit and his gravitas and his war wound reputation behind him, it just holds so much more water. But for some reason, Kerry got to those people in Iowa, and they loved him. And like I say, he could still win. I guess it's a little too early to talk about how he failed. But it just seems to me there's no reason at all for this race to be close. And it's way too close for my taste, and it's drive me a little nuts, like I guess is driving everybody nuts.
Absolutely.
Another thing, think how different this race is from 2000 in that, like, if you just count Fahrenheit 9/11, you figure that should have been good for 2-3% of the vote.
Mm-hmm.
And you figure Air America Radio, having someone on the radio every day giving you the truth instead of the Nazi echo chamber, you think that should be good for 2-3 points. Bill Clinton, who we lost 90% of him due to his heart attack, whatever, but, you know, now he's back on the trail rallying the troops. That ought to be good for 2-3%. Bill Clinton down in Florida telling those thousands, tens of thousands of black people, don't let them do it to you again. Stand up this time. Oh, someone wrote the other day with a great idea. Bring your camcorder to vote. If you see a bunch of Nazi Bush goons beating some black kids up, record that shit. Send it to me. Send it to Perkel. We'll get it on the air.
Voters gone wild. You would not believe what our cameras found. As he coughs his lungs out.
I read a piece of a Maureen Dowd interview in Rolling Stone the other day. Got my new Rolling Stone in.
You know, I've never known much about Maureen Dowd. I've read her articles, but she's actually not a bad-looking chick.
Well, yeah, I kind of fudged a little bit. I found a picture of a really overweight older woman in tacky lingerie, and she kind of became Maureen Dowd on the page for a couple of years. But, yeah, in truth, she's not an unattractive woman, but, boy, when that Nazi bile is coming out of her mouth, she is. And people are telling me, Bart, get off her back. She's on our side. Well, you know, she helped Bush get elected a whole lot, going on and on about how the Clintons stealing from the White House and Hillary's gift registry, her bridal registry, and on and on with her Nazi lies. And then Bush gets in there and she starts attacking him. Well, no, lady, that's your boy. You created that monster. Don't be turning on him now. Stick with him. Like Dennis Miller. Boy, did he pick the wrong time to go with the guy.
Oh, man. I just, every day that I see Dennis Miller has lower ratings than Bowling for Dollars or lower ratings than How to Spay Your Cat with a Spatula on the National Geographic Channel. Or he's got lower ratings than Self-Mutilation for Fun and Profit. The Home Course. I mean, you know, it just makes my heart feel good knowing that that bastard who used to be so funny, so wise, so insightful, and now is, so all he can do is make jokes about his own nutsack.
You know, saw his show accidentally, you know how you're flipping through the channels, and I saw George Carlin on his show. And I was a little disappointed in Carlin. You would figure it would be the, you know, that's something you got to say about Howard Stern. Howard Stern will not let the elephant in the room go unmentioned. You can say 1,000 bad things about Howard Stern, but if there's something in the room, he's going to bring it up. And I was very disappointed that when Carlin was on Dennis Miller's show, he didn't say, Dennis, what happened to you? You turned Nazi bastard on us. What happened? I mean, they could have made it a joke, but I can't believe, oh, I'm sorry, I thought this was Dennis Miller's show, and I look around and see all the swastikas. What happened, Dennis? They could have made a joke out of it. But for him to sit there and talk politics with Dennis Miller and not mention Miller's 180-degree change, and both of them built their careers on making fun of Nazi bastards like Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson and the evil sons of bitches in Congress and Reagan and Bush. That's how they made their bones. Maybe Carlin more with Nixon and all, but it just struck me as very untrue of George Carlin to get on there and talk politics with Dennis Miller and not mention the change. Howard Stern wouldn't have done that. I just thought that was bad of Carlin to do that.
Ich bin ein Miller.
Oh, but I was telling you about Maureen Dowd in that interview.
Maureen Dowd.
She pointed out two things. One of them, I don't know if I can get it right, but she said, Poppy Bush proved that going into Baghdad was not a good idea by not doing it, and then here comes his idiot son proving that going into Baghdad is a bad idea. And then she pointed out that, and I didn't even think of this at the time, but where was Poppy Bush for NaziCon 2004. All 4 nights they had these speakers up there going on and about, on and on and on about the greatness of W and what a brave man he was to send those other kids to die and how steely resolve he was and how he was doing a spectacular job. But where's Poppy? Poppy wasn't there because Poppy disagreed with them. Poppy's whole team, Schwarzkopf and all the Poppy's team told W, don't go into Iraq. Don't do it. It's a hellhole. You're going to be house to house, and then what? And when you break it, you own it. And he said, shut up, Dad. I know what I'm doing, you stupid old fool. And then he went in and screwed everything up, got 1,100 kids dead, and nobody seems to care. You would think Kerry could put a little pin on his lapel saying, 1,100, oh, like we do on the page, he could change that number every day. Oh, look at the number on Kerry's chest today. You know, not a big giant placard hanging over him like Edith Joe's, but just a little insignia or his little button on his up by his lapel that says 1115, 1122. Every day he could change that number on his lapel. So if you ever see a picture of Kerry, you can look at that number on his lapel and tell roughly when it was during the campaign and how many kids had died because of the bungling idiot. I keep hearing these people talk about what a great job he's done chasing the terrorists, but he's looking for them in the wrong damn place.
Wow. What were we talking about again?
It just kills me that they let him off the hook. And another, it was on CNN, I heard Christy Todd Whitman, A, who had to leave the Bush administration because he told her, no, bitch, we're going to pump as many billions of tons of pollutant as we want in the air. If you don't like it, quit. And she said, okay, I quit. They asked her why in the hell anybody should vote for Bush. And she said, oh, because he's done such a good job on terrorism. And we can't trust Kerry because first he voted against the war, and then he voted for the war, and then he voted against the war and for the war. That's been around for, what, 100 days now? And all this time, Kerry, I haven't heard him once refute that. Randy Rhodes can do it. I can probably do it. A lot of people can do it. But by Kerry never addressing that situation, he's allowed that to become probably the biggest thing, against the big flip-flopper. First he's for it, now he's against it. And then when he's unfairly called on something, if he would go ahead and point that out, but he just seems to be a little too polite to want to beat someone over the head with the truth hammer. Oh, I hope we get to look back. Please, everybody, write to me Wednesday and say, Bart, you idiot, you were wrong all the time. But
well, it's funny you should mention about Democrats being nice, because here's a crappy little chain email I got, okay? I'm going to read it to you and what it is, and then I'll read you my response to it. Are you a Democrat, Republican, or Southern Republican? With elections coming up, we should all decide. How you would respond to the following scenario will help you determine the answer. You're walking down a deserted street with your spouse and two small children. Suddenly, a dangerous-looking man with a huge knife comes around the corner, locks eyes with you, screams obscenities, raises the knife, and charges. You are carrying a Glock, and you are an expert shot. You have mere seconds before he reaches you and your family. What do you do? The Democrats answer, well, that's not enough information to answer the question. Does the man look poor or oppressed? Have I ever done anything to him that would inspire him to attack? Could we run away? What does my spouse think? What about the kids? Could I possibly swing the gun like a club and knock the knife out of his hand? What does the law say about the situation? Does the Glock have an appropriate safety built into it? Why am I carrying a loaded gun anyway? What kind of message does this send to society and to my children? Is it possible he'd be happy with just killing me? Does he definitely want to kill me? Or would he be content just to wound me? If I were to grab his knee and hold on, could my family get away while he was stabbing me? Should I call 911? Why is the street so deserted? We need to raise taxes, have a paint and weed day, and make this a happier, healthier street that would discourage such behavior. This is also confusing. I need to debate this with some friends for a few days and try to come to a consensus. Republicans answer, bang. Southern Republicans answer, bang, 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 click, 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 click. Sounds of reloading. So, you know, that's now the stereotype. So, of course, I had to respond to that. And my response was, Democrat shoots the attacker, similar to sending a cruise missile against bin Laden. Republican, shoot someone else and let attacker advance. Nuff said. Southern Republican, talk him into burning a cross in some nigger's yard.
I think my readers know me well enough, I'd shoot the sumbitch. That's one of the tests we always come to. You know, if you're asleep in your house and someone's kicking in your door, if he wants to proceed,
well, it's funny cause
he's going.
Bard Gal, the weather vixen, got that as well. She responded, okay, had to respond. Being a female Democrat, there is only one bearing on this scenario. You are carrying a Glock, and you are an expert shot. Shoot his dick off. Since he's a man, he now has more to think about than coming after me and mine. And anyways, dying's too kind and easy on him. But that's the type of attitude you have to have. You got to stick it right back in their face.
Well, you know, I heard years ago, I heard Chris the Screamer say something about W that I thought was true, that after 9/11, people didn't want a thing about it. All they wanted was a bunch of people killed, and that's the kind of thing Bush could handle, the idea, we need to kill somebody. And that's the kind of idea that Bush could handle, but we just didn't know at the time he was going to go off on the wrong country. That was just crazy for him to do that. And still, he hasn't really been called on it.
John Kerry should every day bring up Osama bin Laden, because it represents George Bush's greatest failure that he has not done anything about September 11th. Yes, he deposed the Taliban, but technically the Taliban did not attack us. They did not attack us. It was Osama bin Laden, it was Al-Qaeda directly, and they're still loose, and they're still planning more attacks. Well, why don't we now switch the subject over to something a little more, less kill.
Less bloody.
Less bloody, even though there was a little bit of blood, and that was on Curt Schilling's ankle. That's right, let's talk about the Boston Red Sox pulling off what had to be one of the greatest comebacks in sports history.
Can you believe they said his ankle was bleeding in the shape of the state of Oklahoma? That's what they said. It was bleeding like there was a slit across the top, and then the right half of it was bleeding down, and it looked like Oklahoma.
That's people who have way too much imagination, or they've been swallowing their own chewing tobacco. That's ludicrous.
But, you know, had they been Catholic, they would have said he was bleeding in the form of the Virgin Mary, and then he could have sold those socks on eBay.
Yeah, and then, of course, he would have tens of thousands of Latin Americans coming up on a pilgrimage to see the bloody sock of Jesus.
Well, hey, what do you think about that story? I read it in USA Today that the Cardinals didn't want to bunt on Schilling because it wouldn't be fair, since he had a bad foot, to make him chase a bunt. And that might be winning with less than honor or some kind of bullshit. What is that about?
I think that's a whiny-ass excuse. I think that's completely stupid. And had it been me at bat, I would have aimed at his foot, okay? I would have tried to hit the ball right at his ankle. I would have enjoyed hearing the snap heard around the world, okay? That would have been more entertaining. It's like, ooh, you're trying to be some kind of hero? This ball's for you. Now, yeah, I don't buy that.
And by the way, if you, the listener, think we're being a little hard on Schilling, just remember that while he was being interviewed in his post-World Series victory, soaking with champagne, he said, everybody be sure to remember to vote for Bush. I mean, that's just the wrong time to bring up, let's all get behind the Nazi murderer when you're celebrating your World Series victory.
I know.
What is wrong with people? I mean, of course he's going to be for Bush. He's, what's he get, $8, $10 million a year? Of course he's going to be for Bush. Fuck the niggers. Fuck the poor people. Fuck the foreigners. Fuck the sick. Fuck the old. Fuck the veteran with a broken back. I'm a Republican. I make a lot of money. Fuck them all.
Wow. Is that some kind of new plaque at the Statue of Liberty, Bart?
No, it's the motto of the NaziCon 2004. That's what they stand for these days.
So, congratulations to Boston. How about that?
Oh, yeah. I guess there are no poor Major League Baseball players in the World Series, but I kind of had, you know, if the Cardinals are refusing to bunt on the guy, that's a very Democratic way to lose.
Nice.
So I'm kind of thinking that the Cardinals are going to, but then again, Boston, you know, this almost ended up a Texas-Boston series. That would have been kind of interesting politically.
Yes, it would.
But it didn't happen that way.
No. So I'll tell you what, as we're recording this on Sunday and the election's on Tuesday, we should get together again, Bart, like on Wednesday or Thursday, record another show.
You know, it's too bad we couldn't, but what if we could set up a thing? You want to try to talk maybe election night, maybe?
I'll be watching Jon Stewart, man.
Well, yeah. Is he going to be 1 hour, or do you know?
Just 1 hour.
Okay. Well, yeah, maybe we should talk after that. A whole lot of election night is a lot of nothing. And now and then they're going to say, oh, we got a projection in Pennsylvania. See, that Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Florida, that should all be 7, 8, 9 o'clock, which is like 6, 7 your time.
Then I'll tell you what. Let's think about doing a recording.
Cool.
While it's going down. Like a real journalist would, Bart.
Oh, and in closing, remember we talked about how things were in 2004. Since we were expected to lose,
You mean 2000?
Yes, 2000. Since we were expecting to lose, I just decided to go down with the ship, and I was going to do a big shot every time Gore won a state. And I'll be damned if Gore wins Florida, Gore wins Michigan, Gore wins Pennsylvania, Gore wins Ohio, Gore wins New York, he wins Massachusetts. Like, oh, geez, hold on. I got to get the bottle again, you know.
But what are you talking about? You mean Gore or Kerry or Bush?
Gore, they called Florida for Gore in 2000.
That's true, okay.
And then after I got plenty loaded, they said, no, never mind, we're taking it away and we're giving it to the Nazi. And I'm thinking, oh, Christ. So then we all went to bed brokenhearted. And then 4 o'clock in the morning, I got a call, Bart, wake up. They pulled Florida away from Bush again, and it's back. I'm like, oh, Jesus. And that started, that 40 or 50-day nightmare, which, don't you think we have that coming up again? Is there anything that can stop this nightmare from recurring?
I don't know. No, but luckily, if anyone tries to contest it, and the Republicans say, oh, the Democrats, they didn't, it wasn't fair, blah, 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 we go, hey, now you know how it feels.
Exactly. But, you know, the only way I think we can avoid it is if Kerry ends up winning, you know, 55-45, if it's just so far out of reach that they just would be a waste of time to do it. But if it's another nail-biter, you know, they're going to sue in 15 states. Oh, and last thing, got to mention Colorado. Do you know what's going on in Colorado?
People are freezing their nuts
that
off.
That too, but they're doing their electoral votes funny.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it's on the measure, ballot measure, that if they decide, then they're going to divide up the electoral votes depending on the proportion won by the candidates.
And that's great news for us, because we're expected to lose Colorado barely. So I think they got maybe 11 electoral votes. So if Bush gets 6 and we get 5, that 5 could be the difference between 266 and 271.
Mm-hmm. Now, if that makes the difference in the election, expect that to go straight to the Supreme Court and be ruled against, I bet.
Well, see, the oddest thing about that is they're voting next Tuesday whether or not that should be the law. And if they say yes, it's retroactiving 24 hours. If that comes in, then they're going to start Tuesday morning over and count the votes and split them up. So, yeah, that's probably a guaranteed Supreme Court deal there, too. But either way, it should be an exciting 48 hours. But, boy, it's going to be tough to make it through without hard drugs, you think?
Well, that's why there's hard liquor.
There you go.
And that's why you weren't coughing in 2000. And you should drink with me on Tuesday night. And so should everyone in BartCop Radioland. Drink to the success of our new president, Kerry. Well, I tell you what, I hear the music coming in, which could only mean one thing. It's now the end of the Tommy Mac and Bart Cop Radio Extravaganza element. So, once again, from Los Angeles, this is Tommy Mac.
This is Bart in Oklahoma.
Jesus Christ, Bart. And we'd like to mention to you that if you had half as much fun as us, then we had twice as much fun than you. Thank you, and go vote.
Far down. West Coast.
Don't touch that dial.